Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Monday, May 9th. The date is 5-9, or as most of you guys out there would call it, 5-11. Here to talk about the transfer portal again, as everyone's talking, but a little different conversation about it, because I've always contended and always thought and have said from day one that NIL and transfer portal is only going to make the likes of Ohio State and Alabama stronger. And sure enough, it is. It is decimating the mid-tier programs. The lower-tier programs are, I mean, it is over for Bowling Green or Toledo. If you have a diamond in the rough that comes in and balls out, he is out the fucking door, guaranteed. So it is a really sad state of college football, because we are just, I guess, front-loading the top tier, which is great for a fan's perspective to get, you know, almost NFL-caliber teams playing at the end of the year and throughout a conference schedule. But it's unfortunate for coaches that are trying to build programs at places like Toledo, Bowling Green, Miami of Ohio, Tulsa, you name it. And big news, and we'll talk about it, is Arizona State right now is getting absolutely fucking obliterated. And so we want to talk about that. We want to talk about a lot of things. We're also going to talk about spring recruiting, what that entails, what that means, what is a college coach doing right about now. But I did want to mention before we get going, if you're interested in supporting the show, jump over to patreon.com/menace2sports and check out our Patreon. One, if nothing else, one, we put out content on there that we can't release to the public because of copyright laws and other bullshit. But also, you get a custom RSS feed for only $5 a month. It goes straight to your phone. You don't have to wait for Apple or Spotify to catch up and put it out. Usually get it at least an hour early. And I mean, that's great if you really want to listen to the show right away. But more importantly than that, it supports the show. So go to patreon.com/menace2sports and sign up just to support our platform, because we're trying to grow, trying to expand. This YouTube has been a great addition. We have some big plans coming through the summer, and next football season is going to be wild. So anyways, that's all I got. No ad reads or anything like that. Just wanted to throw that out there if you want to check it out. And if you want to check out zone6.com, there's a bunch of stuff going on there. I have a handful of evaluations to do today, because if you sign up at Zone 6 for a free trial, I will evaluate your film and give you feedback and tell you what you need to work on. So there you go. That's all I got for you, Chris.
That's so valuable, Doc, but happy Monday. It's freaking so beautiful outside. I got to mention,
first of all, it is absolutely gorgeous outside. And my son's 12U team went full 5-0 over the weekend, won a tournament, just absolutely dominant. 6 home runs. My kid hit a double. He hit like 350, I think, on the tournament. The team was unbelievable. It's the most fun team I've ever been around. Just a great group of kids. They're competitive and they're talented. So we killed it, man. Won the tournament. We run ruled the team in the championship game. That's how well we played.
That's gonna be so demoralizing.
11-1. It was a great tournament. Shout out. It was in Bucyrus. And if I don't know how many youth baseball teams are out there in Ohio, but unbelievable tournament. I mean, it poured from Thursday afternoon and late until Saturday morning, like 4 a.m. Saturday morning, it stopped. We went to that field, looked like didn't get a drip of rain, because there was a group of dudes that were grinding, putting down dirt and just trying to make it, and it was perfect. You couldn't ask for anything better. And none of those people get paid. It's supported their entire youth sports organization. So it was awesome. So if you ever have a chance to play up there, I would highly recommend it.
You got a tournament coming up this weekend now too?
Every weekend. We're in Johnstown this weekend. The next weekend, I think we're in West Jeff. I mean, we're all over Columbus and in Ohio leading up to. We go to Cooperstown in June in New York to the Baseball Hall of Fame for a week, which will be awesome. So it's going to be fun, man. I love youth baseball. Got a youth softball scrimmage tonight. My daughter does. My four-year-old has a youth soccer game on Wednesday and Saturday. So needless to say, we're busy as shit.
So like late in the year, Zach, if I like call an ice cream shop, hey, what's the name of that team that that dominates all the youth tournaments? Is it going to be like a hometown hero situation? They got to know who you are. Do you guys do the ice cream after wins?
Not really. I mean, sometimes it's Dairy Queen. I wouldn't count it on them because they can't get a fucking blizzard right. So I don't know what a team's name is. They'll be like, I don't know, some team that's blue comes in here sometimes.
I just remember I played on a really garbage baseball team growing up, and we won so few games that every time we did win a game, we got to go to the local ice cream shop, and coach paid for the whole team. And I have to do about three trips.
My son's team is, I think, 6-2 right now. We had four like preseason games that we went 1-3 in because we were just mixing lineups up, trying to, you know, really get a feel for where kids play best. And after those four games, I think we're 7-2 or 6-2. So they're playing really well right now. So
cooking.
That's enough about my bragging, though. Let's get to the show.
Yep, I do want to ask Zach. First thing, before we kind of get into what's going on college football, I love hearing stories about kind of when you were a coach. Obviously, we talked about Urban Meyer last week. We talked about Vrabel, all that. I do want to ask you, though, start to finish, Zach, what kid did you see the biggest transformation and growth in?
As a player, just overall?
Yeah, as a player, just overall. Just came in, you were like, wow, like I don't know if this kid's going to be able to play. And then that's leaving.
Tough. I mean, probably like, Terry McLaurin. I mean, I talk about him so much. And he was never a kid that you thought was a bad player by any means. Mm-hmm. But he had so much development that needed to happen for him to become what he is today. I mean, one of the top, 10, 15, whatever he is in the NFL. Is just like to know where that kid came from is just a testament to his character, his personality, his work ethic, and – honestly, I don't want to pound my own chest, but a testament to finding that in a kid that was probably going to end up at Indiana, wasn't ever going to be recruited by the big time guys. And I just saw something that I thought was different and I took a chance on him and, you know, he made me right. It's like anything else. Great coaches are made because great players play great. Right. And great players commit and develop. Like that's not a testament to me, really. It's just, I noticed it. I saw it. I think the kid's personality and character was fucking off the charts. And I was like, you know what? This is a kid you take a shot on because if nothing else, he's going to grind his ass off. He can run fast. He'll be a special teams guy. Maybe he never plays receiver, but he'll be valuable. Right. Mm-hmm. And he went way above and beyond where I believed he could go. And in comparison, like Michael Thomas was just immature and a little raw. He just needed to grow up and get that mentality. And once he did, he became what we saw him. I mean, you think about it as a freshman, an early enrollee in his first spring game, he was the MVP. He looked like a freak show. People just didn't realize how far away he was from being a dominant college football player. He was just talented. So Terry McLaurin won for sure. Michael Thomas is a great story, but you saw it day one. Like this kid's freaky. We got to develop him into a great player. And we did.
Yeah. Like Michael, there was obviously more clay there in terms of ball clay, frame, twitchiness, you know, all that kind of thing. What's easier to work on for you? Is it easier to get a kid ready, like mentally or physically in terms of like getting ready for kind of to play at a super high level than the NFL?
Well, if the kid has the right mentality, physically is easy to maximize his ability, right? I'm not saying, you know, you get a kid that is physically gifted as hell and you need to work on his mentality. He might become a better player, but it's harder, right? Because there's more work that needs put in. And if his mentality is not all the way there, it's tough to develop that mentality. And you got to go to extreme measures like we did with Mike. I mean, we had to redshirt him and do a bunch of things to kind of give him perspective and get him in the right mindset. And once that happened, good God, it was beautiful, but it doesn't always work. It doesn't always happen that way. Whereas a guy with the right mentality, I mean, he's going to show up and work. He's going to do what you ask and he's going to take coaching. And so you could get him to a ceiling and maybe even push a little past the ceiling, but it doesn't mean he's going to be better than the other kid, right? It's easier to maximize for sure.
Mm-hmm. So now the spring football's wrapped up, Zach. I do want to ask you, what was the end of spring like for you? Did you guys have individual meetings with each player? Did you break things down, kind of lay out a plan for the year? Or was it kind of just like a check-in? This is what I need you to improve on. This is what you're doing well. This is what we expect from you coming up.
Yeah, I mean, you have one-on-one meetings that, you know, really you have 3 days the next week after the spring game to have one-on-one meetings with all your players. You do evaluations. You kind of, you know, have a lot of honest conversation about where they're at, where they need to improve, what they did well, what they didn't do well, and set a plan for them, you know, really over the next month.
Is it just you or is it you and head coach?
No, just you. The head coach will have his own one-on-one meetings with the kid. Gotcha. Just him and the kid. And a lot of that, it's partly about player, how good the player is, but you really rely on the position coaches to identify and talk through that stuff. They may reinforce it, but it's more about big picture plans. What do they want to do after college? What internships can we set up? You know, it's more about just connecting real personally and getting that pulse of the team and developing a relationship for the head coach, because he's got to develop relationships with, I mean, I don't know, 65 guys. I mean, there's 110 on roster, 85 scholarship guys. So he's trying to reach all of them. It might not be possible. So he's got to reach the top 50 at least So that's the main purpose of those meetings. But yeah, you have that, you know, 3-4 days and then you're fucking sayonara. Mm-hmm. I'm out of here. Spring recruiting for, you know, five weeks and you're gone. And your players are training with Mickey Marotti and his staff, and maybe your intern's doing some drills with them and you're working with them. But ultimately, you're gone. And you just have to be like a remote manager and make sure your kids are working. They're doing what you ask. They're doing well in the weight room, going to class. You have to do that all with phone calls from South Florida or wherever you are. And so it's definitely a different time of year. And it's honestly where big time programs separate and differentiate themselves. I mean, look at Alabama, Ohio State programs like that. They have such a phenomenal support staff. I've talked about them forever. Keenan Bailey is a great one. I mean, got to be the best in the country, and that is not a full-time on-the-field coach. And Corey Dennis was one before he obviously got the quarterback job. I mean, you have to have big-time support staff members. Shit, I have Brian Hartline. What are we talking about? I had Keenan Bailey, Brian Hartline, Corey Dennis. Like, I had some big-time support staff guys that when I would put a plan in, they could just implement it and go. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's tough, right? When you have an intern trying to do this stuff and the players kind of look at him like, man, I'm not like trying to work with
like almost like some young dude,
whatever.
Yeah.
But Keenan has done such a good job of establishing himself as a competent coach, right? Because that's what players are looking for, competency. If they believe you can make them better, they don't give a fuck who you are. I go back to my story of me working with Carl Moore and Aaron Hernandez at 6 a.m. at Florida. Why did they want to work with me? Because they thought I could make them better. They weren't going to show up and do that for some slap dick, right? So you have to develop established competency. Mm-hmm. And Brian Hartline, I mean, never mind the fact we're seeing the proof in the pudding right now, how competent he is, but immediately a guy that's smart, knows the game, played in the NFL, you have immediate credibility with those kids. So when I would put together a plan, say, here's what I want these guys to do. If Hartline texted him and said, meet me at 8 a.m., who the fuck's saying no? I mean, a guy made $30 million in the NFL, playing a game, you know, playing the same position. He's smart as shit. Like, you're going to tell Hartline no? Who the fuck are you? You know what I mean? And so that's really important and often overlooked. Like, how is Michigan support staff? I don't know the answer to that, but it's got to be a rock star support staff, or else when all these coaches are gone, those kids aren't getting developed. That's 5 weeks of minimal development. That's huge.
Mm-hmm. No, that is really big time. When you say you give evaluations, Zach, at the end of spring, was that like are you handing these kids paper? Are you putting the film on? Like what is that? Set the stage. What does that look like? Do kids get nervous? Do kids push back at you about things?
Yeah, every meeting is different, right? So I would do a football evaluation where it went through everything from, you know, releases, top ends, you know, ball skills, ball security, you know, how well you carry the ball when you have it, blocking, you name it. Every aspect of receiver's game, I graded them 1 through 10, and it was pretty formulated, I guess. Yeah, you would say.
You handed them a sheet of paper and said, oh, here you go, Mike.
Full eval. And then the head coach usually has an eval that he wants you to fill out, which Urban's was fucking awful. It didn't help at all, but whatever. It was his way of giving you some format. But yeah, I used to also evaluate their football IQ, their meeting room presence, like their attitude and mentality in meetings, attitude and mentality on the field, their effort on the field. I mean, I gave them a grade on everything I thought mattered. So that one, there was the kid could have accurate self perception, right? He could look himself in the mirror and say, this is what my coach thinks. So, and they knew, like, if I thought they were a first round draft pick and graded everything, I would tell him fucking 10, like, just keep working. You're there. Like, you got it. Let's just keep pushing and try to get a little better.
What player was that? Like, who had the best graded eval?
No one's ever been that. I mean, Mike had some high grades, but Mike still had a ton to work on. And he still has a ton to work on. Every player does. And the minute you think you don't, you're done. But we did it all. And then some players, we'd make a cut up, you know, if there was a disagreement and they didn't agree, because I would always ask them, like, do you think that's fair? Do you agree with those grades? And if they didn't agree, I'd be like, all right, well, let's meet tomorrow at noon or whatever. And let's go through it and see, maybe I'm wrong. Like, I have no ego. If you're right and I'm wrong, I'll say, damn, I'm wrong. I had a bad perception of you. You're right. So we'd make a cut up of ball skills. Let's watch 20 clips of you catching the ball. And if you drop 6 of them, I think I'm right. If you catch all 20, maybe you're right. Right. So you do whatever you need to do to develop them. Right. That's it. And you want them to have an honest picture of where they stand so that when they go into the off season, they can grind on it. And if a kid's a little bitch about it and wants to fucking complain or like, be like, my coach thinks I stink, it's like, shut the fuck up. All right, you stink then. You're always going to stink. You're never going to get better. So have that mentality, man. I see how it works out for you. Dontre Wilson, great example. Fucking didn't work on shit. thought he was the greatest, didn't understand why his coaches were fucking him over and wasn't playing. It's like, well, I hate to break it to you. You don't have good ball skills. You don't do tennis ball drills, wiffle ball drills. You don't do lacrosse ball drills. You don't hit the jugs fucking for twice a day. You don't do any of that. So they're not going to improve. Curtis Samuel and Jalen Marshall are going to be in front of you, and it's never going to change. So complain about it. Like, call your dad and tell him that Urban Meyer and Zach Smith are holding you back. Good. See how it works out. And those type of honest conversations were huge, because at least then the kid knows where he stands, right? At least there's no confusion. It is crystal clear what your coaches think about you. And then you can decide what happens after that. And so, really pivotal moment in a player's development, a unit, a position group's development, and the whole team. Because if you have 10 coaches that are doing that, that whole team walks out of spring ball into the summer, phase of their development, and it's crystal clear. There's no haze. There's no fog. They know where they stand, and they're like, all right, this is what we need to work on if we want to win more games and be more successful in the fall.
Yeah. I think that sounds so good for culture. Cause like a lot of times, at least in other places, like you clump together when there's bad leadership. Like if you had one kid that's like saying, oh, like coaches are, fucking me over, this, that, the third, I don't think that player can go to other players and be like, yeah, like coach is effing me over with that kind of thing. But it's like, no, he's been honest with us. We know what we got to do to get better.
And it just goes back to leadership. And this can apply to business. This can apply to any walk of life, your parenting, your kids, right? Kids, players, employees, anyone, they want honesty. They don't want to sit there and question, like, am I going to play? Am I any good? Like, am I going to get a raise? Am I going to get a promotion? Like, when there's confusion and there's not honest conversation, that leads to questions, right? And you get questioned as a leader. And
distrust as well.
Distrust for sure. It all comes down to trust. Mm-hmm. And when you're honest and always honest, right? Uniformly across the board, honest. That kid knows you're being honest with the starter, the backup, the last string guy. If they know you're being honest, they may not like what you say, but they can appreciate that you're being honest and telling them what you really think. Sometimes those hard conversations are what it takes to develop someone. And it's what happened the last week and a half, 2 weeks. And now those kids know where they stand. That's why some kids jump in the portal. They're like, man, I got that much to work on. I'm never going to play. I'm fucking out. Deuces. Or they take a plan and they say, you know what? I'm going to go grind and get this right.
Let me go grind it out. I do want to ask Zach, do you think with the transfer portal, like how much honesty can get, like how much honesty can you have? Like, do you think that Ohio State or schools around the country are kind of like maybe a little bit less honest for the sake of managing depth because kids will leave so quickly? Or do you think Ohio State doesn't have that problem with Keenan Bailey, with Brian there? Because obviously, like, there's no secret, like the Ohio State receiver room is loaded. And, Emeka is kind of that guy. And a lot of people have questions about Fleming. Like, how honest are they able to be with Fleming? And do you think that because the transfer portal may want to keep him, especially after seeing what happened with Jameson Williams, they're maybe a little bit less real with him?
No, I mean, I think that there's certainly a way to communicate those points in a positive light, right? You could say, these are the things you need to work on. Here's the plan. And like, right. I think if you grind and do this, I could see you being in the top two or three receivers. Like, you can spin it a certain way that is not dishonesty, but it puts it on the kid, right?
Right.
Like, hey, you can do this, right? But you're going to have to work your balls off to get there. And if you don't, you might not, but the ball's in your court. I'm telling you exactly what you need to do to get better and become a starter or become an All-American or whatever the goal is. And at that point, it's on the kid. If he doesn't think he can do it, if he doesn't think that he can achieve what you're asking him to achieve, he might transfer. And at that point, you want him to. Mm-hmm. You want him to stick around? And even though he's like, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to grind and do that. Fuck no. Get out the door. Like, as long as you're honest with him, get out the door and we'll work with a younger kid that's going to grind on it. And that's the reality of it. Like, if I'm Julian Fleming right now, I had a decision to make coming out of spring. I haven't really been healthy. I'm seeing three guys that are just absolutely fucking killing it. I meet with Brian Hartline and he lays out a plan for me. He says, listen, we know your talent. We know what you're capable of. Here's the plan. Number one is you got to be in the training room every fucking day, getting treatment, whether you're hurt or not, prehab, rehab, doesn't matter. And if you do that, then here's the things you need to work on as a receiver, right? Be it separation, hips, ball skills, which are three of the things I think Julian Fleming struggles with. Not struggles with. Those are his
could get better.
Mm-hmm. Could get better at, right? And I think that and here's the plan. Here's how we're going to get you better, right? And if he sits down and says, all right, I'm done. I'm done playing around. I'm gonna be in the training room for 2 hours a day, getting treatment on my body to make sure I'm in tip top physical shape. And I'm going to do all these drills twice a day, three times, once a day, whatever. And he commits to doing it. There's no telling what Julian Fleming could be. He could be the best in the room, second best in the room, fourth best. All is possible. And it's all, the ball is in his court.
Right. I think it's interesting because last spring we were in a similar, not similar, but a unique situation, obviously, with Jameson Williams being in there and Brian Hartland and them kind of tipping the hand. Hey, these are our top three receivers right now. And Jameson Williams being like, I'm definitely one of the three best. Watch this. Let me go to Bama. I am curious to see if they kind of back off of that. Maybe don't name the top three starters immediately and kind of moving forward, just kind of say, hey, we're gonna rotate guys. Listen, and if you focus on you're going to be there.
They're going to do one thing and one thing only. They're going to have four starters, and two of the four, be it Julian and Emeka, probably are going to be at the same position. And it's going to say Julian Fleming or Emeka Egbuka. That is all just so the kid, you know, people back home look and say, oh, Julian Fleming's a starter or Emeka Egbuka's a starter.
And they avoid the mistake because I think Julian Fleming can play. I think if he goes somewhere else, I think he can end up, I mean, in a weaker wide receiver room, I think he could do a lot of damage. That's where I'm at with that. Now, I do want to ask about the NCAA. This is supposed to be the week, Zach. They're supposed to come down hard on some school. They're supposed to come down hard on somebody about this whole tampering thing. Obviously, it's about Jordan Addison. Jordan Addison still has not made a public decision. It got leaked almost 2 weeks ago, Zach, that he was going to go to USC from Pitt. What's the holdup? And do you expect the NCAA to kind of follow through, or are they waiting for Jordan Addison to commit somewhere?
No, I don't expect him to do a damn thing. They may look into something, but they're not going to do shit because they can't prove shit. I promise you. And I think Jordan Addison.
Do they have to though? Because other leagues don't have to prove shit. They just go ahead and just give out punishment.
They won't punish anybody. They're in such a fragile state right now. If they go slam Alabama or USC, I mean the repercussions and ripple effect in the country. There will be a fucking XFL AA or whatever the NCAA alternate is in a minute. Because people are sick and tired of the NCAA. They've done such a horrific job. I don't know a single university or conference that is sitting here like, man, I'm glad we're in the NCAA. They are so good for us. They do a great job in leading us. No, nobody. Everybody's disgruntled. Everybody wants out. It's just a matter of, you know, structuring that and how does it happen, right? So the reality is, I think Jordan Addison, the hangup is, there's a lot of big money deals coming at him. And it's like, all right, we need to let this shit kind of work itself out and see where we sit and really evaluate it. He might take some official visits or whatever you want to call them, where he goes to these schools and sees them and sits down. He's getting recruited again. He's not in any hurry. He won the Biletnikoff. He thinks he's the bee's knees, man. He thinks he's the hot shit.
I mean, the bee's knees.
So I think he's going to take his time. He's got to get there, you know, somewhat soon, probably before the summer quarter starts. Or summer semester, whatever you want to call it. I don't know his academic standing. He might not need any classes. He might be able to take bullshit. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that's what I think the hangup is. He's getting recruited and he's sitting back chilling like, all right, I'm going to see what's best for me.
Yeah. Now, how did this Jordan Addison story leak? Like who? Did someone snitch or did someone from his camp actually come forward? Like
Pitt definitely put it out. 100% Pitt put it out. They are salty as fuck and as they should be. I mean, they just featured this kid, gave him fucking 100 balls. He won the Biletnikoff, became a name that we're talking about on a show from fucking Pitt. Like, and he was just a good player, not a great player, just a really good player. Yeah. So I'd be sick if I was Pitt's receiver coach. Like, damn, I put you on and you do this, right? It literally be like you're dating a girl or engaged to a girl, get married to a girl. You buy her fake titties. You go to the gym with her every day. And then fucking 2 years later, she divorces your ass and tries to level up. And you're like, what the fuck? Can I help build you?
What the hell is that shit? You see her walking around with Odell Beckham Jr. It's like,
yeah, like no loyalty. What's up with that?
I wonder, Zach, why don't more schools snitch? Like Ohio State during their press conference stuff, it seemed like Ryan Day and them were very, very frustrated about, you know, other schools tampering and trying to poach their players. You could see it's like their job just got so much harder because they now have to fend off these poachers, babysit these kids even more and keep recruiting them even though they're already on the team and then go recruit other kids on the road. They seem very upset. And I'm just like fucking name names, like the Boston College kid, name names, get to snitching. I think there's got to be some self-policing, but why don't more schools snitch, Zach?
Come on, man. You know the culture. Snitches get stitches. Like I knew about coaches cheating in recruiting all the time, and I'm like, damn.
Yeah, but like, you're a real one. Like, what about Ed Warner? You don't think he was
snitching? He did snitch. He's an FAU. Who the fuck he snitching on? FAU. FIU bought a kid a hamburger. Who's he snitching on? He doesn't know shit about what Alabama or Ohio State's doing.
I heard
like
that.
He would, though. Mm-hmm. He already did. He snitched on one of my good friends, Brian White, was coaching in Florida. Mm-hmm. He snitched on him for some bullshit. Brian White talked to Curtis Samuel for like 5 minutes in the school when you aren't supposed to really talk to him. And mm-hmm. Ed Warner snitched on him. And it's like, bro, everyone does that. Why are you snitching on anyone, let alone one of Urban's friends at his former place of employment? But he did. He was singing like a canary, little bitch boy. And that was one of the first times I was like, whoa, this guy is, he's in a different category. You're getting shanked in prison, brother. Not me. You gotta fucking sleep with one eye open around Ed Warner. But yeah, I mean, most people are like that, like Tony Alford. Mm-hmm. He sees cheating and recruiting, and it's like, hey, I'm not snitching because I don't need some bullshit coming back to bite me in the ass, even if I'm squeaky clean. Like, I accidentally talked to a kid, and all of a sudden, some guy who I snitched on is like, oh, I'm going to get this motherfucker back. Like, nope, I'm out. Mm-hmm. You go ahead and cheat. It'll get you in the end, and I'm still going to get mine because I can recruit. That's the moral story. If you can't recruit and you're a fucking nervous bitch because you suck at it, yeah, snitch. Go ahead. Sing. Sing like a canary. But most people don't. Because they're good at their jobs. That's the reason. It's like, hey, I'm going to still get mine. I mean, I sign players every year that got offered bullshit deals from fucking Arkansas and places like that. And it's like, KJ, okay, I mean, if you really want to go to Arkansas for some dollar amount, have at it, man. Or you want to come here, get developed, and go to the NFL, win championships. It's up to you. I mean, you're going to make more money at coming to Ohio State in the long run than you are going to fucking NC State. So have fun. Mm-hmm. And not that NC State ever cheated. I never heard of them cheating, but I'm just throwing a name out there.
Got you. No, I'm just I'm curious because I think like if Pitt ever gets a diamond in the rough again, like a good player, like a kid that gets developed, is someone going to come knocking or is it kind of marked like, hey, yo, we do snitch over here? Because that'd be the way to kind of protect your program if you're a mid-tier program. Because in this era, it's literally what's happening is organic farm systems.
It is. And you look, yeah. I mean, look at your Arizona State right now.
Exactly.
They have State. Five receivers that have transferred. They only have five receivers left. Like Herm Edwards is fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Because and it's getting back to my point. I always said the NIL and transfer portal, the minute it was announced, I was like, oh, this is over. There's no such thing as a weakness anymore.
The rich get richer.
What? If you're Alabama and you haven't done a great job at receiver, fuck it. Go get three big time guys in the portal, pay them $1 million each. Problem solved.
Yeah.
And if you're Arizona State and you do a great job recruiting and developing, peace, bitch, I'm going to Alabama. Like this was always going to be the case. And anyone that thought differently is fucking stupid. What did you like? If you are Kansas and you recruit a kid and son of a bitch, he's a diamond in the rough and you're a great coach. You're a great receiver coach. You coach his ass up, develop the shit out of him. Sophomore year, he's all whatever, Big 12, whatever conference they're going to be in eventually when that goes away. He's not hanging around.
Mm-mm.
All you did was you did a great job for fucking Clemson, or not Clemson, because Dabo ain't doing that, but all you did was did a great job for Bama.
Yeah.
And the kid. The kid's going to go to Bama, win a ring, maybe go to the NFL first round. I mean, you helped him out a ton. Mm-hmm. You ain't get shit for it, but you helped him out a ton.
There's always like a small school kid at the Biletnikoff ceremony, whether he wins it or whether he's like, you know, second or third. And now I think, Zach, moving forward, getting in, like being, you know, one of the top three for the Biletnikoff award, if you're a guy from not a major school, immediately that means that's you made it. That's, oh, I'll see you at Bama next year. That's, I'll see you at USC next year.
It all comes down to the quarterback and offense, right? At that point, I mean, if you're Jordan Addison and you have Kenny Pickett coming back, you probably stay. Right. Mm-hmm. But you don't. You're still at Pitt. They're back up Slovis or whoever the fuck it is. He's not going to be Kenny Pickett. So you leave. You go find you a Bryce Young. Go find you a Caleb Williams. Go find you a CJ Stroud. Because at receiver, your success is reliant so much on the quarterback. And that's what I always talked about in the way I exited Ohio State was like, not that JT wasn't a good quarterback. He was not a receiver friendly quarterback. And then we had Haskins coming in, and I'm like, man. I'm going to look like the best coach ever doing the same shit I've been doing for 4 years. And it's going to look like I learned how to coach because the receiver position is so contingent on quarterback play.
Right.
Not entirely, but it's a huge part of it. And so if you're a great receiver, if you're Jackson Smith and Jigba and CJ Stroud left after last year, if he was eligible and you're looking at Kyle McCord and what's in the room, you're like, nah. I mean, look at what Jalen Waddle did at Alabama, right?
Oh, yeah.
Who's the receiver at LSU? Ja'Marr Chase.
Oh, yeah, Ja'Marr
Chase. Ja'Marr Chase had at fucking Joe Burrow balled out, went through spring ball, training camp, at the end of training camp, realized this quarterback sucks.
He said, yeah, I'm good over here.
Oh, he said, I'm scared of COVID, motherfucker. I'm out of here. See you at the draft. Like, y'all ain't killing my stock.
Yeah,
if the portal was a thing back then, his ass would have been at Bama, Ohio State, somewhere, because he was not fucking up his money on some mid quarterback. No chance.
That Ja'Marr Chase shit was so funny because, like, the personality of Ja'Marr Chase, like, obviously, it wasn't about COVID at all. That boy went through spring and said, yeah, I'm declaring for the draft.
COVID, the motherfucker went through training camp.
Yeah.
Like, if you were, after training camp, you, like, got on Google and you're like, COVID, what the fuck is COVID?
Like, hold up. Getting pretty bad.
What? No, man. He just used that reason.
And he came up. He got his money, was still, I mean, after not playing for a year, was
smart decision.
Same reason why
Jordan Addison hit the portal. Smart business decision.
And then he ended up getting back with Joe Burrow. So it worked out. That's crazy. Ja'Marr Chase said, title, I'm cool. Let me get back with Joe Burrow again. That's a hero for real. But I am curious to see who the next, I mean, now I'm just steadily watching who the next big time small school cat is to get poached. And how quickly will that school snitch? Like, Pitt snitched so quick that it almost hurt Jordan Addison, because now it's like, he doesn't know if he commits to USC. Are they going to get hit somewhere else?
And they're sitting there like, fuck Jordan Addison. Disloyal bitch. Like, they don't give a shit. All the fucking energy and that they put into Jordan Addison, and he wants to dip on him. They're like, nah, motherfucker. Not us.
That shit's rude.
All right, Zach. Chris, I do have a dumbass sports media entity. And not even sports media. I got a dumbass fucking tweet of the week. If you didn't see it, it was funny for a Buckeye fan.
Oh,
the Toronto Blue Jays tweeted out something to the effect of, like, it's very rare that a team in blue scores a touchdown in Ohio on a Saturday, but we did it because they beat the Indians, and we call them the Indians on the show, the Cleveland Indians, 8-3 Saturday morning. So, funny tweet, you know, take a shot at Michigan. I don't know why Toronto doesn't like Ann Arbor, but whatever. But the hilarious part, as a former Indians fan, no longer a fan, I cannot cheer for a team called the Guardians unless they're playing roller hockey. They went 1-4 over the weekend against the Indians. Like, who are you talking? I guess they didn't really talk shit to Cleveland. So they took a shot at Michigan because they're like, yeah, we suck. We're going to get almost swept. So let's talk shit to Michigan. I'm here for that energy, right? Talk shit to Harbaugh when you can't talk shit to the team you're playing.
But Zach, isn't that the most Michigan shit ever? Isn't that the most Michigan energy ever? It's like, but we beat Ohio State one time in 8 years. We take victory parade, call the presses off. You know, we won the championship. I mean, that tweet was literally the most Michigan thing ever.
But it's like, Jim Harbaugh woke up, had a cup of coffee in Ann Arbor. He's like, oh, what do we got today? And he's like, opens Twitter and he's like, the fuck? What I do the Blue Jays? Like, he might be a Blue Jay fan for all they know.
He said, damn, I'm getting cooked right now. I didn't do shit to you.
Getting fried for nothing. Just woke up on a nice Saturday morning, right? Crazy.
You hate to see it. You love to see it. I love to see it. But Zach, like, I got nothing else for today. Good shit today.
No, it's a good start to the week. Go check out zone6.com. If you want to support the show, patreon.com/menace2sports, the number 2. Support the show. We appreciate you guys. If you aren't subscribed, hit subscribe, like it, turn on the bell, all that bullshit that YouTube people fucking tell you. Do that for us to help make this channel grow. We're trying to go to the moon. So appreciate everybody. Menace out.